eyes of wisdom, everyone. Today with me I have Gabriella, who wrote the Antarctica Odyssey, and she will be answering some of her questions that she came up with. But for my listeners who may not know, why did you write the book?
Is it your first question, Wynne?
Yes.
Thanks for having me today, first of all. And second, yes, why did I wrote Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning? I wrote that book in 2011. And that book narrates my experiences during the time I went to Antarctica. That happened in March 2008. And I haven't actually written anything for 3 years because my idea was to produce a documentary narrating my adventure in Antarctica, but it didn't happen because an accident happened while I was there, and so when I came back to UK, I was still toying with the idea to still find a way to produce a documentary, and it didn't happen. And so in 2011, I realized that, well, I could do something else with it, and for instance, write a book, because these days, a book can be sold on the internet anywhere in the world, and I could still, with a book I could reach anybody in the world, and second, I haven't written a book, it would possibly be easier maybe to find a producer who would want to produce still the documentary about it. And so that's what I did, and I published it in December 2012. And the main reason was that I wanted to leave something behind, or I would say maybe to leave a legacy, okay? So in the book I wrote all the experiences, the lesson I learned when I went on that trip.
So what was the conversation that changed your life?
So far, I had many conversations that changed my life, but possibly the thing that, for me as a woman, made me realize and have a different approach to life from that moment on is having met the psychotherapist Alexandra Pope in 2009 and having attended her workshop about menstruation and the wisdom of menstruation. And that, for me, it was a kind of an eye-opener. I've been into the personal development world for some time, actually for the best part of 3 decades. So, as you can imagine, in almost 30 years, you know, I attended many workshops, different trainings, I read many books, I went to many conferences, seminars, etc. But till 2009, when I met this menstrual awareness through Alexandra Pope, I never realized so vividly, so clearly, that most of the trainers, philosophers, let's call them like that, of thought leader in the personal development world, were, still are, mainly men. Again, I want to say, not there's nothing wrong with them, obviously not. I am quite grateful for all the training I've done and all the wonderful people I met so far. But the thing is that it changed my life. It was the fact of realizing that most of those people were men, and so as a consequence of that, they see and perceive life in a very different way from a woman. And until that day that I went to that workshop with Alessandro Pope, I never really realized that. On that day I realized that and I thought, oh, that would make things different. You know, the fact that women are so, have a different body that is running a different way, but our biology and the menstrual cycle in itself is a huge driver, or it's a huge cause for the woman's emotional well-being, psychological well-being, the way she acts in the world, the way she perceives herself, etc. And so I would say that that's pivotal and really an important thing in a woman's life to have, that I didn't have before, because like many women in the world these days, I think they don't know much about their body, or that, definitely not in that department.
Definitely not in that department. And how do you connect with yourself and into self and spirit?
So are you asking me how I connect with myself, my inner self?
Yes.
Okay, I think there are two major things. One, as I've just talked about this, it's my menstrual awareness that really helps me to help find my center whenever, wherever I am at during the month. That really helps me refinding myself if for some reason I'm out of it, or I got out of my balance. The other thing that is very helpful for me and is definitely a very quick resetter of my moods, my physical well-being, my psychological well-being, is being in nature. So I do rely a lot on walking in nature, in the woods, to kind of find that calm center, you know, within myself, so that, you know, in that calm center is where all the answers are and all the solutions to any problems.
And why did you take a trip all the way up to Antarctica?
Good question. It was a bit of, I have to tell first a few things about my story, so maybe listeners would understand better. In 2005, my marriage came to an end. Not legally, but emotionally, psychologically came to an end. So I split up from my husband. And but I kept living split under the same roof for practical reason until the legal procedure was over. And that legal procedure only finished a couple of years later. So in those 2 years, I had to find a way to keep sane, being sane, and you know, protect myself emotionally, because it was quite difficult. And also at the same time, I had to take care of the legal procedures that are not very pleasurable, you know. Anyway, at the end of those 2 years, when eventually everything was over, I was thinking that from then on I would be fine, and I was undervaluing the, you know, the power of having been through such a disruptive event in my life. But it's, we don't know until something happens to us, right? So I wasn't in a divorce before, so I was a newbie. So basically I realized when everything finished that the adrenaline, you know, my adrenal glands were pretty exhausted. So I started, feeling how much that had affected me. and so I felt crumbling or falling apart, or because eventually the tension was stopped, and so, you know, I had maybe time and space to come back to myself and realize what I actually had been through. But anyway, within the space of a couple of days between the last hearing court, when that kind of determined everything and finished everything, and me coming across this opportunity to go to Antarctica, it was really a few days. And it happened because a friend just told me about this event happening in London, where there was a speaker, an Australian chap that was actually selling and offering the opportunity to go with a group of people to go to Antarctica, where he had already been. He had been himself to the South Pole and to the North Pole. And the reason why he was taking people to Antarctica, well, let's be more specific, to the Antarctic Peninsula, because Antarctica is a very huge, enormous continent that I think it could contain Europe and Australia put together. It's very big. So the reason why he was doing that, or who had been doing that for some time, was because Antarctica for him had been really a turning point in his life, and he loved it, and it's a very extreme place to go that puts you totally out of anybody's comfort zone, to be honest. And so the reason was to take people there, because then you have an opportunity to put yourself under stress, so you have an opportunity to face your fears and limiting beliefs. And so imagine myself, a woman pretty distraught, and who by then had trained in neuro-linguistic programming, so I was quite keen on you know, testing my mind, as if I hadn't been tested enough, but it really appealed to me. And also, I think that psychologically I also needed to find myself again, or do something for my spirit that would really recharge me. And I really love traveling, and I love nature. So, you know, that opportunity had for me the two, being able to be immersed in nature and also to travel to a place I never thought I could travel one day, to be honest. And it would be a very challenging place, because I don't like the cold temperature. So it's not a place.
You don't like the cold temperature.
No, no. So I would have never, out of my initiative, planned to go to Antarctica. But there I was, you know, in that specific moment in time, with all that happening in my life, and I came across this opportunity. I thought, why not? And so I thought to sign up for it.
And if you had to explain your fearless story, what would it be?
Can you say it again?
If you had to explain your fearless story, what would it be?
I don't understand. What would it be? What?
What is your fearless story?
I'm sorry, but the audio is not very good. What is it that I? What it would be for me?
What is your fearless story?
All right. My fearless story. Is it the right question?
Yes.
Well, I think to answer to that question, I think in my life so far, I will be 50 years young this year, actually next month. I think possibly one of the toughest thing I had to face in my life, there were many, but possibly the toughest one was, in fact, my divorce, and realizing that the reality I had created around for myself wasn't really working, and had enough courage to really look at myself in my face, you know, look inside, and realized, well, that wasn't working, so I had to do something about it. So I think what that implied for me, it was the fact that I had to face the divorce process, something that I really didn't know what to do about it, because I've never been in something like that. And also, it was in a different country, because I originally from Italy, and I was married to a Brit and living in London, so in UK. So those things are not easy already in your mother tongue and in your old environment. Forget about it. Having to face it in an environment which is not yours. Yes, of course, I had been living for some time already in UK, so by then I was feeling more at home in UK, but still though, when you face something so legally demanding, unless you are a solicitor or an attorney or barrister yourself, it's quite tough. Plus, there's also another component that if you haven't been through, maybe you don't consider, is the fact that going through such an event in your life, psychologically and emotionally, you are quite challenged. And so putting all together, it was quite tough. But the thing that possibly made it the toughest for me was the fact that it really showed for me how my self-worth, self-esteem were low, really low. And so that in itself, it was really difficult to face, you know. But that required that from me. It really required, because of, I won't go into the details, but all sorts of things happened together through those 2 years. And so to make the whole thing even more difficult than it is already. And so I really had to, I find myself so squashed or so underpinned, so minimized, so trodden over, that I really had for the first time in my life really stop and look inside and realize that I had the right to exist. I had the right to be happy. I had the right to be respected and all the rest of it. That actually is every human being's right. But maybe, you see, especially maybe if you are like me, born in the Western world, all those things, they are taken for granted in a way, you know. Unless you find yourself in a very extreme situation. And for me, that extreme situation was the fact that I was living in a different country of my own, and I was married to a person that, of course, I fell in love with a few years earlier, and I would have never imagined that, you know, one day I would have found myself fighting in court with him. And so it really required me to dig deep and face my soul, and it never occurred to me before in that sense, in that to that extent. So I'm very grateful that that happened, because many good things came out of that. Of course, in the moment it was horrible. It's quite.
In the moment it was horrible.
It was very challenging.
And so what keeps you motivated?
Well, I think like all human beings, you know, at times we can feel low, or we can feel tired, and we can feel lost. It's all part of the human experience of life. So when I go through some patches, some moments like that. I think what it takes me back to, again, to my center, feeling joyful and motivated, is the fact of thinking of my life call. I actually had the fortune to have this moment in life where I realize why I'm here and what I should do or I would like to do, right? And so, and I discovered that in 2009, and which is realizing that I want to empower women, of course empower myself first, and as a consequence empower other women in the world. And so I think when I'm lost, or when I'm out of kilter, or when I am feeling low, or maybe not really knowing where I'm going, etc. If I think back to that, if I go back to that deep purpose in my soul, you know, the energy and the sparkle, they come back, and you know. But I learned to be respectful of my body's needs as well, so sometimes it's just okay to feel low and that's it, and you just have to rest.
And what did you gain from this experience going to it, Anka?
What did I gain of the experience of going to Antarctica? It was something so different, so out of the normal, you know, life or normal circumstances that one is in daily life, that I think it showed me a few things, like, for instance, communing deeply with nature. It really fed me. It's something that I feel a strong attraction to, you know, a strong bond with the planet and nature. So I had experiences while I was in Antarctica of really feeling this communion with nature. Like it happened to me to look into a whale's eye that never had occurred to me before. And it was really kind of moving, really strange moment, you know, to have an eye to eye with a whale. And also camping overnight on the ice, it was another one of those moments, magic moment, when I felt very minute and tiny and in that enormous world, you know, and I could hear all the different noises out there outside the tent, and of course provoked, made by nature, and I felt kind of you know, and it was so cold, so I felt like kind of I entered a different dimension. It was like kind of moment of where my body was numb. My mind was also numb, and it was almost like kind of entering a moment, a space where there are no dimensions, you know, where there's no time, there's no, yeah. So those two examples were moments that were magical, and they change you, you know. Maybe then it's not something that you think of every day, but they do change you deeply, and you come out of it a different person. And also the fact of facing something totally unexpected. I love taking pictures, and I love as I said, nature, light, photography. So I was really dreaming of all the lovely pictures I would have taken, and filming and all the rest, but unfortunately I had an accident there, so I lost my gear. And that was something that I would have never thought it could happen to me. And so I found myself from one moment to the next one where everything was taken from me. And so it took me a long time to kind of emotionally accept it. And I explain all these things in depth in my book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. And I called it like that, A New Beginning, because it was a new beginning in a way. You know, there are so many parts of us that that can be changed. And sometimes if you go through a very challenging experience in life, you know, those parts of you, they are changed, they are squashed, fractured, you know, moved, and you come out of it, you are a different person.
Now, what would have been your experience if you had written the entity Odyssey to Antarctica right after the trip? Would it have been different?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Would, if you had written the book right after the trip, would it have been different?
Oh yes, would have been different, the book that I wrote, if I written it immediately after. That's the question, right?
Yeah.
I think so. At the same time though, I'm not sure. I can only talk about this book that I did write 3 years later. But I think yes, it would have been different, because when I came back from the trip, and it was April 2008, I'd been away traveling for 1.5 months. And so when I came back, there was a lot of things to be digested, you know, assimilated, they needed to sink in, etc. So it didn't register with me immediately what I had been through once I was back. It took me a while to realize what I had done, where I had been, and it took me a while also to before going into a crisis, because it did happen after I came back that I went through a crisis. Because I realized that I couldn't fit back in so-called normal life. It was, you know, I was living at the time, I was living in London, and as you can imagine, to live in London in a flat or whatever, it's very different from, you know, traveling through the prairies of Patagonia or being in Antarctica or among ice and sea. And so I went through a crisis, really, and I didn't know what to do next. I didn't know where to live. I didn't know so many things, funnily enough. And so, like in all crises, you can only be with it and let it happen to you, really, and then see where it takes you, because all crises do happen for a reason. So if we never had crisis in our lives, you know, we would never possibly change or improve or maybe take different directions. So they are quite a good thing. But again, as you know, sometimes they're not particularly pleasant. And so, you know, going through that crisis once I was back, and then also in the years later, it really changed me again, and so also me trying to keep on with this idea of producing a documentary at all costs, you know, I was fixed on that thing, so I kept trotting towards that destination, but that destination it seems further and afield. So in a way, writing the book 3 years later, it was that right time, you know, enough time to have kind of a layback and look at what happened. And so I could have a better view. It's like when you take off and go, you know, high in the sky and look down, then you have a better view. And that was exactly the same, you know, what happened to me writing about an event that happened 3 years earlier. With hindsight, obviously. I had my diaries that helped me, obviously, to remember everything. But at the same time, I had a detachment, right? And so I think I wrote a much better book, having written it 3 years later, rather than if I had written it immediately after.
So I'm presuming that book could be found on Amazon, and I'm presuming that book could be found on Kindle as well.
Yes, my book, Antarctic Odyssey, New Beginning, is on Nook, on Kobo, on Amazon, and through Amazon, obviously, on Kindle. But for practical reason, if somebody is interested in reading more about it and see some pictures or see some videos, they can simply go on my website, which is flyinginspiration.com, and there they can find a page called My Book, and they can find the links to all different sites where you can purchase it. So
flyinginspiration.com is the best way to purchase it, or if you just Google it on Amazon, you will pick it up.
Yes, on my website, flyinginspiration.com, there is a link to go directly to the page of the book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. And there are also links to Nook, where you can buy it as well, on Kobo, and also the website of the publisher, which is The Endless Bookcase, is also purchasable from that site. So, but more than anything is that on my website there is lots of footage that I edited after the trip, so it could be interesting for, you know, any possible reader to see footage of me and going through different experiences, because I traveled before the trip to Antarctica. I traveled in South America, and also afterwards as well. So you know, there is much more information. Of course, there is I have an author page also on Amazon, where listeners or readers can find information about myself. But the easiest way is just to go to flyinginspiration.com.
And we have that in the show notes, guys. Don't worry about them. I would like to thank Victoria for coming on and explaining her book and why she wrote it. And I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous episode of Butterflies of Wisdom. Thanks, you guys.